You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. Not long ago, one of our listeners asked us about the pain of losing a child and would their pain ever go away. Our children are not supposed to die before we do. But when that does happen, how do we handle it? When I told Father Jim about the question we received, he told me the story of Brian and Abby Caswell. They, too, lost a child. Brian Caswell is with us today. Father Jim, would you introduce Brian to all our listeners?
I'd be happy to, Sherry. Brian and I met when I became pastor of a Catholic parish in Texas, the city in which Brian still lives. And Abby, a delightful couple. And anyhow, we became friends at the church and saw each other on a regular basis. I knew them as a very, very neat couple. And Brian was working for the fire department at that time. And Abby was working for a university, St. Edward's University. And this is a story that Brian can tell much better than I can. Abby and Brian have two lovely children, a daughter and a son, both delightful children. The girl, Lauren, was a young, pretty girl, vivacious, outgoing, charming, sweet, played the flute like a little angel, and she was afflicted with asthma. And of course, we never knew how serious it was. I'm sure she did. I'm sure God knew. But there came that time when it was more than anyone could handle. And I shared that part of life with Abby and Brian. And this is one of those times, Sherry, when I actually know the people, have known them for years. And we have actually shared a very, very deep emotional, spiritual part of our lives together. And Brian, I'm going to let you introduce this, and I'm going to jump in and ask you questions and tell you some of the things that I remember and how we shared this moment of faith.
Thank you for allowing me to share Lauren's story. Our daughter Lauren was born June 23rd, 1986, and we could tell at a young age that Lauren was a very compassionate, caring person. In kindergarten, Lauren had a friend named LaShawn, and LaShawn, she was different from all the other kids, and the other kids didn't want to play with her. So Lauren tried to get the other kids to play with her, but they still wouldn't. Lauren even offered to give the other kids her little mermaid pencil, and they still wouldn't do it. Lauren just told LaShawn, that's okay. We'll just play by ourselves. Lauren saw everyone the same. And then once in the third grade, Lauren got on the school bus to come home, and she saw that her little brother Andy, he was in kindergarten. He wasn't on the bus yet, and the bus was getting ready to leave. And so Lauren went to the bus driver and told him, this bus cannot leave until we get Andy. So they stopped the bus and they started searching for Andy. they finally found him on another bus. They brought him back over and put him on the right bus, and Lauren just always watched out for Andy. You know, one time when Lauren was in the fourth grade, she came home on the school bus, and she got the mail out of the mailbox like she normally did, and she saw a letter that was addressed to her. She read it and then came running up the driveway. She was yelling, all excited. She had been chosen to play Mary in the Christmas pageant at our church. She took the role very seriously. She knew what an honor it was to play Mary. Then, when Lauren was 9, she was diagnosed with asthma. We took her to a specialist, and he prescribed all different meds for her to take. We thought her asthma was under control. Then one night, about 10 o'clock, it was February 29th, in the year 2000, Lauren was 13. Lauren got out of bed, and she was having trouble breathing. And Abby started a nebulizer treatment. This happened every once in a while. We were used to it. So she started the treatment, and the treatment didn't help. So I started a second treatment, and Abby called an ambulance. The ambulance took Lauren to the hospital. Her condition didn't improve. She wasn't breathing on her own. She was put on a respirator. The hospital staff asked if we had someone to call, and we called Father Jim. He was our pastor at that time. He came to the hospital that night. He prayed with us. He stayed with Andy while we met with the hospital staff. And he helped us through those first few days. They were very difficult. Then March 2nd, the doctors and hospital staff called us in for a meeting. They told us that Lauren was brain dead and she was not going to survive this. We were asked to consider donating Lauren's organs and leave it to Lauren. She made this very easy for us. Only a few months earlier, she had talked to us about how organ donation saved lives, and it was the right thing to do. So we knew what to do. Her organs went to 6 different people, and one of them was an infant. Lauren always loved babies. And I'm sure Lauren had a hand in one of her organs going to an infant. And a few days later, we had Lauren's rosary. And a friend of Lauren's brought us a note that Lauren had written on the 29th, February 29th, the last day of school. It was titled My Favorite Quote, and it was a quote by Cassie Bernal. She was a victim in the Columbine shooting. And the quote said, "Honestly, I want to live completely for God. It's hard and scary, but it's totally worth it." Then a few months after that, we began adoration at our church. And 2 years later, construction of our adoration chapel was completed at our church. There's a plaque in the chapel that reads, "The bells at St. Therese Chapel ring in the memory of Lauren," along with her favorite quote written underneath that. After losing Lauren, I found that the most healing time is with our Lord in my hour of adoration. And every time I hear the bells ring at our chapel, it reminds me of Lauren and her faith-filled heart. That's pretty much what I thought about telling.
Well, Brian, as we look back on that time, and I remember coming over that night to the hospital and being with you and Abby and Andy, talking and praying and knowing what had happened, because I think that our listeners ought to know that you were an EMT and you were the one right there with your own daughter, and knowing what you know about the work you do You knew what you wanted to do and what you felt you were supposed to be able to do, and you couldn't. And somehow you still managed to operate with that burden. And you came forward and you did everything you could for your daughter, who you love so much. And you and Abby are so strong, and standing there by her bed, the ventilator working its life-giving air into her, hoping and praying. And then they said, you know, don't go home, stay here at the hospital. And they got you a room. And you and Abby and Andy all went and spent the night in another room there in the hospital. And then she was transferred to a specialty hospital in the big city. And she was taken there. And you came there, and one of those wonderful times when a McDonald house really paid off. And you and Abby got a room in the McDonald house. And you were there. And we were able to be together many times over the next few days, back and forth, hoping, praying. Relatives came in. They came in to see Lauren. They prayed by her bedside. They cried. We all did. I still do. I'm sure you do too, many a time.
Yes.
And as the realization of what was going to happen came in, it was one of those moments when it was so hard to hear and so hard to take. But I have to tell everybody, your faith, your love, and probably that image of Lauren being right there playing the role of Mary in the Christmas pageant there in the church, I can still picture her in her position holding the babe, the small living pageant inside the church, and it was beautiful. And then seeing what happened to her. And then, Brian, one of the most beautiful things, and this is what I really want our listeners to know, to hear, is that, well, quite frankly, Brian, you're not the biggest talker in the world. You know that.
That's very true.
Right. And you're a man of few words, but meaningful words. And you asked me to be there with you and Abby. When in that room, you sat down, and you, the father, took Andy's hand, and in the most beautiful words, you explained to him what had happened, what was going on, and somehow or the other, with strong voice but many tears, you told your son that his beloved big sister was never going to come home again. And he listened with the love that's in a guy like Andy, hurt, shocked, tears, but he was there. And you were a father like I wish all fathers could be. You were so filled with love, and your heart was so torn. You loved your daughter. You loved your son. You were filled with faith. You knew that your daughter was going to be all right with God, but that she wasn't going to be with her family anymore. And then you made that decision, which you said, because Lauren had wanted to give what she had. She was a giver all of her life, and she was going to be a giver in death. And she took what she had. And a couple days later, I came over to the hospital again, stood there with you and Abby, and with prayers, with tears, a farewell was said. And along with two people from the hospital, the three of us walked down the hall behind the gurney, taking Lauren into that room where we would never see her that way again. And I remember the three of us sort of stumbling back down the hall after that. It was probably the most difficult time we've ever had to walk a straight line. And going back to that waiting room where Andy was, other relatives came in. I couldn't tell you who was there. Number one, I don't think any of us could see. There was absolutely nothing in our eyes except tears.
No, I couldn't tell you who all was there. A lot of those last few days were just a blur.
Yes.
It was just such a difficult time. You can't explain it.
No. But I think the love that Lauren had and the faith that she had was that which sustained all of us, especially you and Abby. And let's tell the radio audience a little bit about that Adoration Chapel, because after the funeral, and we were in the process of building that chapel, as you pointed out earlier.
The chapel, I don't remember how long it took to build.
Went up pretty fast. We used it quite a few months before we got the bishop out to dedicate that chapel.
Yes. But dedication was August 24th of 2002.
Okay. And I think it was built in 2001, completed. And then in 2002, we started seriously using it. But along that time in there, I remember going to you and Abby and saying, with your permission, we wanted to put a picture of Lauren at the entrance into the chapel, and that you and Abby could name the chapel whatever you wanted to name it.
Yes, I remember that very well. It was very difficult to decide on a name. You had started a memorial fund for Lauren and Lauren's memory, and the money from that went to the bells at the chapel.
Right.
And Abby and I were going back and forth on names, and you had asked us to give you a name. So we were sitting in our vehicle in front of the church before Mass one Sunday, and we were discussing it. We need to let Father Jim know what we're going to name the chapel. And we decided it was going to be St. Therese. And we agreed on it, and just as soon as we agreed on it, the bells at the chapel started ringing. And at that time, we knew that we had made the right choice.
Well, it is a beautiful place, and it's dedicated to the memory of a beautiful young girl, and her picture's in there. And that quote, like you said, it's hard and scary, but it's totally worth it. And what is totally hard and scary, but worth it?
It's hard and scary, but it's totally worth it.
Totally worth it. And that's dedicating your life to God.
Yes.
And what a beautiful, beautiful young lady. And what a heartrending story it is to think back on it and to see it. But the number of people that have come in and out of that chapel, and the things that happened there. And Brian, one of the most moving things that ever happened to me after that was I was sitting in the waiting room at Seton Hospital, waiting for a parishioner who was having surgery. And while I was sitting there, there was a couple. They were in for some sort of a outpatient procedure, and we started up a discussion. And she told me that she had been blind for years and years and years, but that a young girl had donated her eyes. And she looked at me and she said, "And I can see because of that young girl, and I asked when it happened, and I knew whose eyes I was looking into. And all I could do, well, kind of like right now.
Yes.
All I could do was reach out, hold her hand, and cry with her. And see Lauren all over again.
Yes.
And remember that marvelous, marvelous, horrible, horrible time when faith was put to the ultimate test. And when I saw what it really means to love our Lord and to let God take over and to hand it over. And you and Abby have done that. Your child gave so much. And the memories that she gave you and the love that she gave you and the love that you gave her and still give her and the love that Andy still has and feels and his faith and his hope and his dreams and all of ours are so tied up in this child. And so people say, how do we handle it when something like this happens? And what I want to be able to say to them is, build your faith and let me introduce you then to Abby and Brian Caswell. Because if anybody knows how to handle it, they do. And they didn't handle it. They let God.
That's what you have to do. There's no way that we could handle such a thing. God has to take it from us and take care of us.
Well, that is one of those beautiful stories, and the bells do still ring.
Yes. Every time I hear them, it's like Lauren's talking to us.
Now that's wonderful.
I think she is.
I think you're right, Sherry. And I hope someday that many people that are hearing this story can go into a little city called Dripping Springs, Texas, and find that chapel and walk in and get introduced to Lauren.
The chapel is usually open. There are people in there just about all day long, in and out with adoration. It's a very peaceful place to go.
Well, I know when we were trying to get something that we could have in that chapel that would be a part of Saint Thérèse de Lisieux. And so we wrote the letter and sent pictures and all of that to the sisters who took care of all the relics of Saint Thérèse. And they were so kind and good, and they wrote back to us, and they sent us the relics, which are in there too.
Yes.
So we have those relics, and we have Lauren's picture, and we have that love and that faith. And I hope that if anybody listening would any way at all be dealing with a death in their family, a death of a loved one, going through the separation, which is the result of that, they'll remember the story of Lauren. And they'll know that because he died for us, we all can have the hope of being together again. Well, Brian, that little chapel and that little girl sum up things that people have tried to put into books, into pictures, into anything at all, and they just can't come close to the reality of going through it.
No, once you're inside, it's you and God.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you and Abby being willing and able to share this story. And I also want to take this opportunity to tell people about adoration, how important it is, and how it can be such a factor in one's life. Come into the presence of our Lord and Savior, the Blessed Sacrament. He said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And indeed it is. And if you would find life, go to where life is. And life is right there on the altar. And it comes into our lives each and every time the Mass is celebrated. And it's in the reserve sacrament. It's inside that tabernacle. Or it's on display inside that monstrance. And there it is, the body, the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, shed that we might live, given that we might know, finding us when we're lost, helping us seek that which we so desperately need and want. And along the way, God will reach out. Mary will touch you, and you can be touched by the story of such a young girl. You can be touched by whatever it is in your life that offers that love to you, because the authority of God is God's love. And God bless each and every one of you, Caswells, and all of you listening to us who are looking for hope, looking for the strength of faith. It's there. Ask God for it. Let Mary introduce you to her son.
That's what we have to do. And this might also be a good time to remind everyone that we have a beautiful prayer ministry, a prayer request ministry here at Mary's Touch. And if you'll let us know your needs, there will be someone that prays for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at our Adoration Chapel. So if you would go to www.marystouch.org to submit your prayer request. And thank you, Brian. Thank you so much. And Father, thank you for not only for being with us today, but for being so honest with us all. Because this is the first time I really know that your loved one is always there with you, whether it's ringing a bell, whether it's at adoration. And now, for you, Brian and Abby, and for Lauren, Father, would you give your gift of your blessing as we end Mary's Touch?
Almighty God, all praise, all honor, all glory unto you now and always. We thank you for the gift of life. And we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her Son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341-991, Austin, Texas, 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.